Father, thank you for your word. It is a good word. Thank you for moving your servant out of the way. Thank you for teaching me that others may be taught. Lord, you have brought your servant here to preach today for such a time as this. May it be a history-changing time in the lives of those that were here. May you convict those of us who need conviction. And may you comfort those of us who need comfort. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. One of the things I've figured out as I've looked at this book of Esther is that Mordecai is a shrewd dude. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Don't talk about his godliness at all. Don't talk about Esther's godliness at all. It talks about their survivalists. And how God uses that ability and that want and that desire to survive for his greatest glory. Many of us oftentimes don't make decisions based upon our godliness. Many of us make decisions often about survival. What's the best way to raise money to pay the rent? Pay the mortgage. And it pushes us into decisions that if we didn't have to make those, we wouldn't. And God is going to show us that there are no decisions that you and I can make that is not important to him. But it's important to him what it does to you to make you more spiritual, not to make you more comfortable. Personally, I like to be comfortable. And I would do what it takes at times to be comfortable. Stay comfortable and get rid of the people who makes me uncomfortable. Can I have an amen on that? Mordecai is pretty shrewd. We're going to begin with verse 13 today as Mordecai answers Esther's back about, you just don't know how it works here. If you missed last week, make sure you get that sermon. You got to understand, Mordecai, you're not a part of the in crowd. You're not a part of the kingly palace. And even though I know that you are just someone that's concerned about what's going on, you don't know what it's like to live in the palace. So Mordecai sends this word back. Now I want you to notice something here, how manipulative Mordecai is. Because up until this point, Mordecai has given Esther basically one command. Can anyone tell me what it is? Don't tell anyone you are a Jew. Amen? Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Who is Mordecai sending the message to Esther with? Who? Her servants, her maid servants, her men servants, who has brought the message to him. Now, did Mordecai tell Esther, you know, it's about time for you to let people know you're Jewish? Did he say that? What he said was, to the maids, to the servants, who has a tendency to probably talk among themselves, Esther is a Jew. And he didn't have to say it about a message he sends back to her. Do you think that you're going to escape, girl, because you are Jewish and you're going to be condemned just like every other Jew? So who was the first one to find out that Esther was Jewish? Her servants. Guess who else is going to find out? The rest of the servants. And if the rest of the servants are going to find out, guess who else is going to find out? The servants' masters. So, Elsa, I just want to let you know that secret is no longer a secret. And then he explains that God has another deliverer. He doesn't mention God, but he says that another will be replaced if you don't. But just remember, all of us is going to be dead by the time that takes place. Okay? So he lays out the real simple fact. Look, Esther, you're going to die either way. You can die by waiting on Haman, or you could die by going to the king unannounced. Now, you know Haman don't like you. The king married you. So maybe he likes you. What you smiling about? Isn't it amazing how some husband and wives treat each other? We'd say things to one another we wouldn't even say to our enemies. Well, he could like you, Esther, and if he holds the golden scepter out, you okay, girl. Okay? So I want to ask you a question. Is Mordecai a little manipulative? In the name of the Lord, manipulate, bro. So don't you know that you are here? Maybe you are here, maybe not, but we can eliminate the maybe not. So we know you are here for such a time as this. So we want to spend as much time as we can today on this topic. What is such a time as this? So it can help you understand when you get into one of those situations, not to be surprised what's going to happen. Then Esther told them, return to Mordecai and give him this answer. Go gather together all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens, since you have told them I'm Jewish, we'll fast likewise. And after 3 days, I will go to the king. Why 3 days? You ever thought about the number 3, 6, 7? All very significant days. After 3 days, I will go to the king. Set a time aside to fast. We pray they prayed. We don't know. We know they didn't eat. 3 days, day and night. I don't like fasting. Can I have an amen? I like the biblical truth of slowing. Be slow not to eat. I like chewing. For such a time as this. We established last week, for such a time as this is usually a history-changing moment. What are some of the things that happens in a history-changing moment for believers? In Genesis chapter 46, Jacob comes to Egypt, and there is 70 Jews that comes to Egypt. Did you hear me? How many? 70 Jews come to Egypt. By the time we get to Exodus chapter 3, there's over 3 million, not counting women and children. That's some serious liking one another. Amen. Go from 70, who Satan tried to destroy them all in the famine. God gets them to Egypt, down in Goshen. Then we get over where they become slaves. Egypt makes them slaves. There's so many of them, Egypt makes them slaves. God says, all right, there is a time for such a person to stand up. Moses, they're trying to kill my people. Go over to Exodus. Are you over to Exodus yet? God tells Moses in the burning bush, I want you to go back to Egypt. You had 40 years out here with sheep to learn how not to talk, to learn how not to do your own thing. I'm calling you to go back to Egypt. Moses says to the bush, here am I, Lord, send Aaron. Amen. So that brings us up when he and Aaron goes to chapter 3. In chapter 3, he asks God, who shall I say is sending me? I am that I am. YHWH. No vowels. It was such a holy word that God gave himself the name that he gave himself that they forgot how to say it. They said it so infrequently. That brings us to Exodus chapter 5. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Moses and Aaron is in the middle of a time such as this? Come on. If it is, then we should find out some things that happens when God says to you, this is such a time for you to stand and change history. Now, don't get all confused about I can't change history. Oh, that's just too big for me. I'm just one individual person. How can God use me to change history? I tell you how God can use you to change history. Were you born? Can't hear you. When you was born, you changed history. That's one more person on earth than it was before. It's one more person that he can use to change history than it was before. And it's one more person that has the ability, if you got your eyes open, to understand what it means for such a time as this. Let me show you what happens. You go, well, Pastor, yes. How do I know? I'm in one of those times such as this. It gets worse. I can't hear you. The situation you are in gets worse. God don't ask you to come and change history and make you more comfortable to do it. Well, you're looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. So let's get back in the book. Exodus chapter 5. God is having Moses and Aaron go and talk to Pharaoh. Verse 1, chapter 5. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in, told Pharaoh, who is not used to being told anything, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I love how they say, this isn't us. You're not dealing with us. You're dealing with the God of Israel. Well, I don't think I like the God of Israel. If he was that big, then his people wouldn't be my slaves. Because you know the Old Testament way of thinking. The whole Old Testament way of thinking is, I got a God, you got a God. If your God is bigger than my God, I will be your slave and you would defeat us. If our God is bigger and stronger than your God, we're going to beat you and you're going to be our slave. So who's slaves? The Jews are slaves to Egypt. So who do you think Pharaoh think his God is stronger or weaker than Israel's God? And not only is his God stronger than Israel's God, He got 10 of them. So just in case one may get a little weak, I got 9 more to whip up on your guard. Get back in the field. You ever been there? You ever felt like that? Stood up for Jesus Christ. And it got worse. Why would you think it'd get easier? If you're speaking up for Christ, they killed him. It didn't get better for him to stand up and go, yo, oh, whoa. I think you guys got it all wrong. You Jews have got it all wrong. I'm sorry. I'm the Messiah. Bend down and worship me. Oh, okay, Jesus. We're sorry. We had it all wrong. You the man. Have you read a verse like that? Neither have I. I think they put him on the cross for such a time as this. So let's see how bad it gets. And then, what's the second thing that happens? When it gets worse. Have you ever thought about it? I guess not. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. I laugh every time I see that. I was preaching one Sunday, remember that? And they had signs, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And I just kept on preaching. I looked up and they had a sign, let my people go. I laughed and closed in prayer. You know, you can't say nothing after that. Amen. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I don't know your God, and if he is, it's worth knowing. I'm stronger. My God's stronger. They said, the God of Hebrew has met with us. Let us go. We prayed 3 days during. This is the biggest thing. I wish we had time to deal with this. Do you know that Moses never told Pharaoh that they weren't coming back? Read the whole thing. Pharaoh never knew they were not coming back until after the 10th plague, and they left and didn't come back. Moses kind of kept that on the side. That's why Pharaoh made a stupid decision like, well, you can go, but leave your kids here. He's thinking they're going to go for a little while, worship God, and come back. So Moses kind of kept that little aside, like we do sometimes as Christians. We don't want to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because the truth will get you beat up by God. Can I have an amen? What happens? It gets a little worse. I don't know your God. They said, well, we met with him. We know him. You better let these people go, or lest he may bring some pestilence. Or with the sword. Verse 4. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, loose the people from their works? Get you unto your own birth. Get out of here. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens? Oh, I see what you're doing. The people's got too much time on their hands. If they was really working the way they should be working, they wouldn't be complaining. So I see what's going on, Moses. You've been walking around and people have been listening to you preach this mess about their God want them out of here. And if they would have been working, they couldn't be listening to your lies. So evidently, I need to turn the workload up. Have you ever been around a situation? Man, I'm running out of time. I can't believe it. This is such good stuff. We got time on it. We got until rapture. Well, Moses, let's see. The people got plenty of time to listen to your lies about their God wanting them free. They've been here for hundreds and hundreds of years. So why do you think their God wants them free now? And since you think you're going to get them out of here, I'm going to make it worse. So Pharaoh says, you need straw to make bricks? We're not going to supply the straw anymore. They're going to have to supply their own straw, and they're going to have to make the same amount of bricks as they already was making, or I would turn the burden up more. What's the first thing happens when God calls us to, in a moment such as this? It gets worse. What else happens? Let's see what happens. Verse 9, let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your own straw where you can find it, yet not any of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, fulfill your work. Come on now, you got a daily task. Let's go. And the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task? And making brick both yesterday and today. Bam! Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, what in the world's going on? Well, your boy Moses came down here. Verse 20, and he met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge you, because you have made us offensive to Pharaoh. First thing happens is, in a time such as this, God's going to make it worse. The second thing God's going to do is the very people you're trying to help is going to dislike you. They're going to blame you for what they should have done without you in the first place. You know how many pastors hate your pastor? I'm not talking about just dislike. That was more partying going on when I got cancer than you can ever imagine in other churches. That troublemaker is finally going to die. I think the only reason God has kept me alive is just to mess with him. We're going to keep on messing with them, dude. Why don't you just shut your mouth up about politics? I don't talk about politics. I talk about righteousness.
There you go. Amen, brother.
Why don't you just be quiet about homosexuality? You just hate monger. Because the Bible says it's wrong. It's sin. You're bringing problems on the church. Why don't you just shut up? The church may need some problems because you ain't doing nothing without them. You ever been in such a time as this? You ever felt things getting worse instead of better when you stood up for Christ? Had people dislike you because you did stand? Blame you for the amount of problems they're having because if you would have just kept your mouth shut, Moses, they'd still be giving us straw. And we'll still be slaves. Because you know what? It's amazing how we can even get comfortable in slaves. You know how I know that? Because we don't get rid of our sins after a while. We get comfortable being slaves to our sins. And the only thing you got to do for such a time as this is try to get out from under that sin. Can't hear you. Guess what? We're running out of time. We got a lot more verses to do on such a time as this. A lot of work to finish. And Moses got so fed up in this change of time of history, of the people making it worse, the people disliking him. He all of a sudden later on said, God, just kill me. You ever felt that way? God, if you're not going to change it, just take me out. I'm tired of being put down. I'm tired of being misunderstood. I'm tired of things getting worse when I stand for you. You ever been there? And you know what God says? Well, since I put you in this situation, don't do nothing. It's still going to get worse.
Wait on me.
I'm going to make sure it gets worse. Because I want a time such as this to take place. So you can be obedient and it get worse. Or you can be disobedient and it get worse. In obedience and worse, you got prayer and power and God on your side. And knowing that it's going to be for the best. But when it gets worse with the disobedience, that's a sad trip. You end up wearing long stockings and stuff. With lace. I'm feeling groovy today. Folks, don't think it's a smart idea to back out of such a time as this. God wants to do great things. Can you imagine Moses getting upset and tired and thinking what the people thought of him, over 3 million, to the point where he just said, it ain't worth it anymore, and quit? We got too many Christians who God has put in such a time as this. And we think we have the right to get tired. You lost that right when you accepted Christ.